couple of months ago, I started hearing about something called Black Mirror. It was like a secret password whispered between my friends. Black Mirror. Have you seen it? You've got to see it. When I finally did and binged-watched it, it was more astonishing than I'd even hoped. Black Mirror is a British TV series that straddles sci-fi and super-realistic horror. Each standalone episode looks at how technology is warping our lives and extrapolates that to fascinating extremes. Charlie Brooker, who's the show's creator, had made a name for himself as a critic and humorist and TV writer in the UK, but he was always fascinated by The Twilight Zone, which he'd watched in reruns as a kid.
I was always a fan of that kind of twist in the tale, spooky, creepy, what-if, speculative fiction. I read up a lot about Rod Serling and his life and what had interested him. McCarthyism, psychology, you know, the space race, the Cold War. And so I thought, well, what's the current version of that? What concerns me now? And I think pretty much while I was thinking this, I was probably reading something off a device and, you know, which was reflecting my own sorry face back at me. And so the way that technology has marched in and upended everything over the last really relatively few years seemed like a good sort of starting point for what a bunch of what-if stories,
right?
Basically.
The show is about technology, and there are some cool devices in it, but it's really about, as you say, the way they transform the rules of life and society.
Yeah.
In the first episode, which I want to play a bit from, apparently a terrorist of some kind, kidnaps a princess and in a ransom video says she'll be killed unless the prime minister goes on live national TV that afternoon and has sex with a pig.
Mm.
Of course, the video ends up on YouTube and the clock ticks down. And this clip from that episode is where the prime minister is talking at home with his wife.
I don't want you worrying.
You never patronise me. Don't start now.
Whoever this is insane.
And has a princess.
Who'll get through this?
Not just any princess. The princess. Princess bloody Facebook bloody eco-conscious national sweetheart.
I won't have to do anything.
Everyone's laughing at us.
You don't know that.
I know people. We love humiliation. We can't not laugh.
Nothing is going to happen.
It's already happening in their heads. In their heads, that's what you're doing. What my husband is doing.
That is the national anthem, the very first episode of Black Mirror. The premise is right at the edge of plausibility, and at first seems like a shocking, funny sketch comedy premise, but then you play it very seriously and realistically and not as farce, and it becomes kind of heart-wrenching. That was the intent?
That was definitely the intention. I mean, it was, and, you know, it actually came about as a comic idea I'd had when I was writing a newspaper column.
Huh.
And when I started initially sitting down writing the script, the model I had in mind was 24, the series 24, and I was sort of writing almost a parody of 24. And then as it went on, it became apparent that actually what's interesting here is to take this joke premise and actually make the man at the center of it and his wife real people who are going to be utterly humiliated and devastated by events. And there's a lack of control going on in this day and age. It's not quite clear who is in command.
Because
I
of
think,
YouTube
at any point.
And social media and all the rest.
You know, within the show, you've got the traditional media are powerless to stop this.
Right.
You know, the government is powerless to stop this message going viral. The media are powerless to sort of, they're playing catch up. The public don't even really want what they're then given, basically, at the end. You know, it's harrowing and it's repellent.
In several of the episodes, and maybe all of the episodes, intimacy and relationships and husbands and wives are central and how technology is reshaping them. There's one episode in which people can record everything they see and then review it later, which isn't very good for marriage, it turns out. Is the technology our villain here, or is it us villainizing ourselves?
I don't think technology is the villain. I mean, this isn't, despite maybe appearances, I don't think it's an anti-tech show, really, because I'm quite, you know, I'm quite
geeky. You're clearly ambivalent.
It's more that, I mean, in that particular episode, it's more that guy is clearly sort of jealous and possessive and troubled anyway, you know, and he is just enabled by the technology, I guess. The technology enables him to indulge his weaker side, really, within right. that story. So I don't think, within the stories, it's partly because it's more interesting to me to, because they're human stories, and so if you keep them fairly intimate and about kind of, you know, everyday lives and human interests, like romance and, you know, or sort
infidelity,
of career pressures or
comes up infidelity, again and again.
All of that kind of, it yeah. does come up quite a bit, actually, that, doesn't it? Yeah.
yeah.
But that is more immediately accessible than a bunch of,
sure.
you know, aliens in robes discussing trade agreements in Vector 5.
Yes.
You know, so
yes.
so in a way, that's it's kind of weak people using powerful right. tools right. is quite often what we depict.
And the technology, that this futuristic technology is really well imagined, but also...
Oh, I love it, yeah.
...really beautifully mocked up using, of course, cool technologies.
I mean, and sometimes we really fetishize it ourselves. I mean, just on the show. Like, so in there's an episode called Be Right Back where... with Hayley Atwell and Donald Gleason, and Hayley plays a woman whose boyfriend dies and is replaced by a sort of AI equivalent that's drawn from his tweets and Facebook updates and what have you. But within that episode, she's an illustrator and she's depicted using this
yep.
Kind of piece of drawing apparatus that really our FX guys, who are very, very, you know, we've got this FX team who are brilliant. And they were putting together, I think, their dream device. And I think when sort of illustrators and graphic designers watch that episode, they all
I
go,
want it.
Where did she get that?
yeah.
I mean, this is always the watchword with the show. We've always had the... I get very involved in all the conversations about the design of stuff because I find that knocks me out of the moment. If I'm watching a movie and someone receives an email
yeah.
and the email is depicted on their screen as a giant spinning envelope because that's more visually interesting,
yeah.
I'm immediately thinking that's yeah. not real.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hopefully... We aim for the tech as depicted within Black Mirror is hopefully usable, but it's seductive.
Yep.
It should look like you want it. It should look like it helps you and you would want that in your life.
Black Mirror is broadly political, I guess, in its critiques of the world, and a couple are explicitly about politics. But you've said that beyond being, quote, broadly leftish,
mm-hmm.
you don't get worked up about problems and political controversies very much. And I
yeah.
empathize with that. Does that mean we're part of the problem?
I mean, maybe. I mean, maybe. There are many who would say yes. I mean, I sort of think it's really, I think that comes about because I don't think I have the moral certainty that a lot of people seem to express when they get involved in a political
uh-huh.
argument.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people are seem from my perspective to be extremely secure in their position and all their views and what they think. And then it when it becomes a sort of my team versus your team kind of mindset, I find it hard to relate to.
Right.
Because I think I am more racked by self-doubt, which is possibly a weakness within me, but I think that's why I find it hard to necessarily 100% subscribe to
yep.
To one concrete point of view all the time. I don't know. It feels like we're in an age where everything is getting a little more polarized and all debates that happen are a little more... We're still figuring out how to use social media and stuff like that. It's kind of like the whole of social media strikes me as being like a conversation in a pub at closing time when everyone's a bit rowdy and things could kick off at any time. If you say the wrong thing,
yeah.
you know, that like it could devolve into screaming at any moment. And I think we will just kind of get used to dealing with that as a species, because at the moment it's kind of like a new vehicle we're learning to drive
totally.
And we're smacking it into the walls left and right.
Your most recent episode, the seventh, which most Americans have not yet been able to see, is called White Christmas, and it stars John Hamm as a guy who, among other things, helps single guys navigate dating by watching them through their eyes and talking into their ears. Here's a clip from that episode.
Amy, hi.
Get her to introduce you to the dark haired girl.
So, are all of your friends this suspicious?
Nice.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
This is Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Now focus on Amy, and we'll do that funny material that we worked on.
Anyway, this guy gets off the horse and he's got a backpack, right?
The tactic, generally, was to deliberately freeze out the one you were actually interested in. For one thing, you wouldn't seem needy, but also they would most times sort of lean in naturally. People want to be noticed. They don't like to be shut out. It makes them feel invisible. But this girl seemed content with being ignored.
Maybe she could smell a loser.
No. No. She was an outsider. An attractive outsider. And there's nothing more tantalizing than that.
Within that episode, we do ride through lots of conceits that we've sort of slightly introduced in previous episodes, and there's little Easter eggs for fans of the earlier eps. We've sort of got little there's a reference to every single episode buried away
really?
In there
huh.
somewhere. Oh, yeah, you just have to look very closely. But it's funny because I immediately saw people speculating over whether this means that Black Mirror takes part in one shared universe. Well, of course it does, because we're all in one shared universe.
Yes.
So, yes.
I am told that the American channel AMC has asked you to make an American version of Black Mirror. Is that so?
We've had conversations with people about continuing the show or sort of doing a what do you call a reincarnation? Or so there's all sorts of ongoing conversations which I probably can't elaborate on.
Right. Well, it worked for House of Cards, so you could do it too.
It did work for House of Cards, didn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
There you go. I think if we were, you know, if we were to do that, we would want it to feel more like a continuation than a rebirth,
right,
so to speak.
Right,
but there's
been,
it's quite interesting. Having John in our Christmas special immediately makes it feel more transatlantic anyway.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, there's no reason why we can't go in that direction. We're an anthology. We can kind of, we reinvent ourselves week to week.
Yeah.
So I guess sort of wait and see.
You are a critic and a funny, sometimes vicious critic. As you're making things, as you're writing and producing this show, do you have to turn off or pay attention to that inner critic?
I don't think you ever can. I mean, I think that every writer I know has an inner critic who's constantly sitting there going, "This is rubbish. What you just typed is rubbish, and the next thing you type is going to be more rubbish.
Yeah.
See, told you, rubbish." And really, the only way I've ever found to deal with it is to have a deadline set for you and have things get to such a crisis that the voice that's screaming, "This is going to be late, you've got to type it," is drowning out the voice that's saying,
uh-huh,
"This is rubbish."
Uh-huh.
That's literally the best tactic I've ever come up
wise
with.
Words,
is to basically
wise words, yes.
Get to a crisis point. And I think that's often why things I write tend to seem quite feverish, paranoid or angry, is because those are the conditions. The rest of the time I'm just eating peanuts. You know, and walking around the house sort of playing video games. I play a lot of video games in my downtime. I'll sort of say, right, if you write two more scenes and then you can play Far Cry. You know, it's sort of that. That's
uh-huh.
That's my work ethic. It's pathetic, really, isn't it?
It works for you. And it has been a pleasure speaking with you, Charlie.
A pleasure to speak to you, too.
The first six episodes of Black Mirror are streaming on Netflix right now. The seventh, starring Jon Hamm, is for now available only on DirecTV. I talked with Charlie Brooker for more than half an hour, and for those of you who are real Black Mirror geeks like me, you might enjoy listening to that whole conversation at our website, studio360.org.